Look, the sun is shining. What a great way to start your week, right? Stand with me. We're going to do some singing. Y'all ready to do some singing? God, I thank you for this beautiful day. And I thank you that, God, you see us, you know us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made to worship you. And so we just lift up your name today. That's why we're here, God. To seek you, we want more of you. We worship your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing is better than you. to arms.
Yes, you do, God.
And you turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares.
That's why we sing.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn boats into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
God, that we can trust you. You are all powerful. Your name is higher than any other name. You know us. You love us. And we worship you. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him.
I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered.
Never fail, Lord. We trust you. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord.
I don't believe in fairy tales. I guess I've outgrown them. That doesn't mean that I don't believe there's something bigger than me. 'Cause I've seen it in a hospital room. When the doctor said sorry, but there's nothing more we can do. But you weren't through, and I've never seen a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I've got a promise I can hold in the middle of the struggle. God, if you said it, you'd perform. Be how I want you to. But here's what I'll do. I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you. I've tasted your goodness. I've trusted your promise. I'm gonna wait on you. the author. There's no predicting what's next. You hold the future, and all the questions, they come second to the one I know is true.
Away.
God, you are so faithful. Lord, your word has shown us how again and again and again, since the time that you created this world, since the time you created man, since the time you formed your people, Lord, your faithfulness has endured forever. Lord, Israel sang of it in the Psalms. Your goodness and your faithfulness endures forever. God, we can trust you. Can wait on you. God, when everything comes against us, when everything says, we got to do it yourselves, you're not going to make it out of this, you're always going to be stuck on this, God, we can wait on you. You have shown yourself faithful, Lord. Bring to our hearts, bring to our minds, God, the faithfulness that you have always shown to your people. You are the same yesterday, today, forever, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We praise you today. Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, you know you need to clap for the Lord, right? You know you need to do that, right? It's okay. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. I'm going to start with a little public service announcement today on being in church and worship on time. So I was in Start Here class making new friends today, Scott and Patty, and I came in on that last song. And that's like going from 0 to 60, or drinking from the worship fire hose. That was something, wasn't it? That was good. We're going to continue worshiping now. Our ushers are going to come and receive our tithes and offerings while I ramble on. This is part of what we do to continue worshiping, giving back to the Lord, part of what he has given to us as a show that we trust him, that we wait on him for what we need, and we trust him to take this and multiply it for his kingdom and his glory in our community. Let's pray for that real quickly, please. Father, we thank you for what you have given us. We thank you for the goodness of this day. We thank you for what you have provided for our families. We give it back to you, Lord, as we trust you to do with it what you will to make your name great, God, in our hearts first, and in our community and in our world. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Yeah, man, that was something. That was something to walk in on. Great something, but good. So, show up at church on time, because if you show late and you walk in on the third song, you got some catching up to do with this crew, and they are something else. If you are a guest with us today, thank you so much for being here. We are glad to have you with us to worship today. We hope that you felt welcome when you came here. It is important to us that you do. We want to welcome you. If you haven't been welcomed yet, please let me know. I will fire those volunteers. We'll get new ones. But I was told that it was great this morning, and we want to know that you were here. We have a guest table in the lobby where we have a gift for you. We'd love for you to stop by and just check in with us to let us know that you were here so we can make that connection with you this morning. Anybody come to the garage sale yesterday and see how much stuff was in here and wonder if it was still going to be in here today when you came back? But it's not. All was taken care of. It was good. Thank you to all of you who gave. Thank you to all of you who supported that event and made that possible for what our youth were able to raise. Thank you so much for that. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the announcement video for today's announcements and then our time in the Word together. God bless you guys.
What's up, CF Paris? I am super excited that you chose to join us today. We have just a few announcements for you.
All right, up first, Downtown Food Pantry restock night is this Tuesday. You meet downtown at the food pantry, 6 o'clock, takes less than an hour. It's very family friendly, so bring your whole family, bring your kids. Guys, the food pantry has been serving close to 500 families a day when they open. So this is such a vital need in our community, so we would love for you to come out and help us stock those shelves so it's ready to serve our community.
And Easter's right around the corner. It's coming up. It's March 31st. We're going to have two services, 8:30 and 10:30. So please come and join us on our Easter service.
All right. And finally, guys, we have our VBX registration live for kids now. So get your kiddos signed up. Pay attention. There's two forms. If you want to register, go to the volunteer form. And if you're registering your kids, make sure you register them on the kids form. and make sure you're putting their information, not yours, in the first field. It's your kids' information. We need to know about them. So get signed up to volunteer. Get your kids signed up. We love BBX. It's such a fun time of year, and we are so ready to start the party, y'all. So I think that's it. Corey's coming up.
Bye,
guys.
I think it's on. Yes, it is. That's good. Good morning, everybody. It is good to see you guys. I mean, thank you. I appreciate that. One person back. You know. Sometimes it's like that. I really am. I'm so grateful that we have a church of people that rise to the occasion when it comes time to volunteer. You hear that a lot, and sometimes it can just be almost just inundating. It just seems to overwhelm, like, oh my gosh, they're talking about serving again. But when you get the heart of serving, which I know there's so many people here who have, you recognize that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And man, I can promise you at that point, it changes perspective, it changes life, it changes outlook. It's a good thing. We've got people here who have a heart to serve, and I thank you. I want to shout out to Brandon Farr. Talk about a heart to serve, man. He helped put together, and I say helped, meaning him and Claudia. No, there was a lot of volunteers that did help him out, but I know Friday night he was up here till like 2:30. Just trying to get it all set up and priced and categorized and ready for people. So, man, thank you. Thank you, Brandon. And then I'm just going to keep going with it. Afterwards, everything that we had left over, I was proud to say we were able to support. I don't know how many know, but down in Deport, Deport, we're not going to go there right now. There's a program called Teen Challenge, and man, it is a phenomenal program, And so a lot of those guys over there have started making this a part of their home too, church on Sundays here, and we were able to donate our stuff to them because they're getting ready to have a garage sale support as well. And so win-win, it was a beautiful way we could help support their ministry. It is a great ministry. If you guys get the chance to find out any more information about Teen Challenge, I highly, highly recommend you you just pray for them. And man, it's a great program. All right, I'm like wasting time here. I need to hurry because I'm going to go ahead and just put the worship team on standby. Y'all are coming back up for that one. That's going to go on repeat. Next Sunday, Will Walker. Will Walker is going to be bringing just a beautiful testimony on why I worship. It's going to be a great opportunity for every single one of us to dive into the heart behind worship for ourselves. I can't encourage you enough to be here next week. The following Sunday, we're just going to have a day of celebration. Palm Sunday is going to be a worship-filled service from front to back. The whole thing going to be about worship. With it, communion as well as baptisms. We also already have a number of people signed up to be baptized. If you would like to be baptized, go online. There's a place you can sign up. Man, we would love to get involved and be a part of that with you. A lot coming up, and then the following week, Easter, two services, 8:30 and 10:30, of which you remember I am highly recommending, if you can, to be here for the 8:30 so that guests can be here for the 10:30, to which all of you said, I wake up that time all the time, so no problem, Corey. All right, we're good. Here we go, determine. We started this series, and I made an analogy, and I was correlating our Christian walk with New Year's resolutions. The reason being is I think every single one of us are familiar with failing a New Year's resolution. We've all done that. We know what it's like to fail a New Year's resolution. And what we don't want to happen in our lives, in our Christian walk, is the same thing. A great start, an exciting start. We're running out to join the gym, and then a couple weeks later, I'm losing my microphone. A couple weeks later, you're starting to just get tired and bored of the whole thing. That cannot be your Christian walk. Your Christian walk will not survive if your mentality is robust and exciting at the beginning and then just kind of turns into if you don't give it any thought, if you don't give it any recognition, if you don't give it any time, if you don't give it intentionality, then by February you'll be wondering if you ever even started. That's going to sound weird for just a second. All right, we're good. Sorry, hold on. Let's fix this one time. Man, doing stuff behind your head. Let's. That didn't work, but we're going to pretend it did and smile at everybody. All right. I started off the series, and I talked about very literally the difference between a resolution and determine. Resolution is a noun. Resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. But that's it. It's a thought. It's a thought that sits there. It's a noun. Determine is a verb. Determine means to cause something to occur in a particular way. Now there's action. Now there's intent behind what you're doing. To ascertain or establish exactly how something will occur, typically as a result of research or calculation. Look, you can fail a resolution. But determination comes with intentionality and daily practices. Intentionality and daily practices. So in our Christian walk, determination comes with intentionality, with daily practices that cause you to then continually walk in the favor of God. Different than just a resolution, our Christian faith. Our Christian faith has to have intentionality. There has to be practices that you and I are developing daily. It's an action. Now, yes, you do these things and you will walk in the favor of God. Does that then mean that there won't ever be a struggle? No, that's not what I'm saying. Yes, there will be struggles. There will be thoughts of failure along the way. Sometimes a lot of thoughts of failure along the way. But because you and I are determined, so because we've determined, we know that with God, all things are possible. Because we already know, we've seen him work in the past, so therefore we can step into the future, ascertain or establish exactly what will happen. We've seen him move. We're going to see him move again. We determine, despite discouragement, despite the obstacles, no matter what comes, I'm going to continue to follow him, put my faith in him. Today I want to talk specifically about the feeling of or the idea of failure. Real quick, with a show of hands. Whoever in their life, ever in their life, has experienced a failure. Would y'all, well, God bless. Look, I don't want to point you out for not raising your hand, but I can point out failures from here. It's terrible. Look, all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Failure's not some taboo end-all be-all. We've all failed. I I think along the way, a lot of us have experienced feelings of failure. In areas where we had a dream, we had a goal, we had a vision, and something happened, something came up, obstacles, whatever it was, and all along or somewhere along the way, we just stopped. Hit resistance. We've seen little or no progress, and in those moments, frustration sets in. There's people here today that have been trying to restore a relationship, and in their haste and their desire to restore a relationship, it now feels like they've done something that made it worse. And in those moments, it causes you to just feel like a failure. Quit. Why go on? Why continue? There's people here who've prayed for healing. They've prayed for children, prayed for finances, prayed for so many different things in their life, and have yet to have heard a response. And in those moments, sometimes we give up. We stop praying. We stop believing. Stop having faith for. It's easy in life to get disappointed. Today, we're going to talk about anyone who's ever felt like giving up. Let's do this. Let me have you guys stand up. We're going to read God's word. I want to read from Revelation chapter 3. Thank you, God, for this. Lord Jesus, Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. And the one who is victorious, who will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Bow your heads with me real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, I thank you for your goodness, for your grace, Lord God, for your presence, your Spirit here with us today. I pray, Lord God, that we as your people, that we would hear what the Spirit says this morning. Father, and in hearing from your Spirit, that we would be transformed by your word. And Father, from that we would be inspired to inspire, to change lives, Lord God, to let others see, Lord God, to let them, Father, live and believe like the gospel changes everything. Father, that we would finish what you have called us to start. It's in the name of your Son that we pray this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church, as you're being seated, go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, man, I am super excited. He's preaching from Revelation this morning. I'm not. Let's just go ahead. That was a starting point. It's a jump. It's a launch. I am not going to be preaching from Revelation. But let me tell you this. There is some beautiful depth in Revelation that a lot of times we get scared of because we think an eclipse is coming. If you want depth, you need to be a part of one of our community groups that meets every Sunday morning. Right now, they're actually studying the book of Revelation, and I can't recommend it to you enough. A lot of you are maybe more familiar with church background Sunday school. That's what this is. It's just a community group. It's another group that meets. Sunday mornings, we have children's church. We have nursery provided for anybody that wants to come to our community groups. See, a lot of y'all were sitting there saying, well, I don't go because I can't do something with my kids. Gotcha. We now have, it's new. I'm not putting a burden on you. It's new. We've now been able to offer having nursery for our community groups on Sunday mornings. We also have nursery that works on Wednesday nights with all of our youth. So we actually have stuff for kids going from nursery all the way through our high school programs on Wednesday nights. And then as well, there is currently a community group that meets on Monday nights, and we're offering nursery if you and your wife, your spouse, your kids want to be able to go and do something. Great opportunities. Look them up. There's opportunities to get involved and get plugged in everywhere. I'm not going to teach on Revelation this morning. I'm going to launch off of that line. I know your deeds, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Strong on the outside, you can put on a good face, you can put on a good show, but inside you know you're not doing what God called you to do, and it leaves you empty. Who's willing to admit they've ever had that feeling? Today, I do want to conclude our message in this series called Determine. You and I are called to inspire others to believe and live like the gospel changes everything. They're not going to be inspired to live and believe like the gospel changes everything if we're not living and believing like the gospel changes everything. To live and believe like the gospel changes everything requires determination. It requires intentionality. It requires focus, and it requires persistence. It requires faithfulness. The gospel changes everything. This week, it actually ties right back into the idea of faithfulness that we talked about last week. Finishing requires being faithful. Finishing requires being faithful. The hard part is that it's easy to start. It's just difficult to finish. The hard part of finishing is it's just hard to finish. It's easy to start. By nature, you and I, We tend to take the easy way out. By nature, we take the easy way out. We tend to take the path of least resistance. What's going to hurt the least? What's not going to harm me the most? We take the path of least resistance. And when things get difficult, it becomes easy to quit. So you and I have to determine that we're going to press into the promise. We have to determine that we're going to press into the promise because your enemy knows it's easy for you to quit. Your enemy knows it's easy for you to quit. And very literally, the simple difference between those who struggle, those who end up quitting, and those who succeed is very simply perseverance. Right? Like, this isn't Greek. this is pretty easy. If you don't persevere, you don't finish. The difference between those who end up quitting and those who finish is very literally, very simply, perseverance. That's why you and I have to determine intentionality, that we are finishers. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a finisher. Some of you turn to both neighbors. Now, you're a real finisher. Like, you're finishing it. Look, as disciples of Jesus, then, how do we strengthen, as followers of Christ, how do we strengthen our perseverance? When we know that the enemy wants us to quit, how do we then persevere when we know we will face hardship? How do we strengthen our resolve? To answer this, I'm not going to read from Revelation. What I want to do is I want to very simply look at the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, man, if you look up any scripture on perseverance, you're gonna find his work. I want to start off reading in 2 Timothy, and to give you a little bit of background, 2 Timothy, Paul was writing. Timothy was like a prodigy. It was a protege, maybe. It was this young guy that he had mentored, that he had poured his heart into, he'd poured his life into. And so he had a fond favor for Timothy. At this point in time in his life, though, Paul is now in prison, not just in prison, but scholars believe this was at the time that Nero had sentenced Paul to be beheaded. And so it's believed that Paul wrote this letter during that time while in what we now know Rome was known for throwing their prisoners in these dungeons that were more just like cisterns, sewer tunnels. Most of the people that were left there would die before they ever made it to time to die. This is in essence at this time what scholars believe where Paul is at when he's writing this letter. 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 4, verse 5, he writes and he says, "Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord." Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Look, being a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have hard times. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden life is unicorn and rainbows. That's not life. Being a Christian, in some ways, almost even guarantees that you will face hardship. So, if you're going to finish anything, understand up front, you're going to suffer a little. If you're going to finish anything, it will require suffering from you. Paul says, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. He then continues and he says, work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. In other words, finish. Finish what God has called you to do. Work at telling others the good news. I recently heard something, and I know in church we sometimes throw around what I call Christianese. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed, brother. It's Christianese. Like we sometimes don't even know what it means behind the words that we just use. A lot of times, one of those words that we kind of get a little uncertain about is calling or called. Do you have a calling from God? Look, every single one of us has a calling from God. It's what you do, but it's not what you do. Real quickly, I just want to clarify this. Whatever it is that you do, God wants to bless your hand at doing it. And while you're doing it, God wants you to do your calling, which is work at telling others the good news. Your calling from God in life is to work at telling others the good news. I'm gonna keep on. Fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. Finish. Complete what God has asked you to do. He continues on. He says, as for me, my life has already been poured out like an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. I've been in the battle. I haven't given up. I've fought the good fight. I've remained faithful. I am a finisher. So for us here today, let me just go ahead and clarify something that you may be uncertain of. I can promise you right now, everybody in this room has not finished their race. I'm asking that you not during this moment. If you're here, God must have more for you. Like, turn to your neighbor now and tell him, I guess God's got more for you. That was terrible. Don't you question it. Come on. Look at him and say, God's got more for you. Thank you. Look, God's got more. God's got more. He has more plans for you. He has an assignment for you. There's more love to give. There's more opportunities to help people. There's more ministries to start, more businesses to begin, more friendships to make, more addictions to break, more people to tell about the good news of God. If you're here, you're not finished. There's more to do. Fully finish the work that God had you start. I think a lot of times in our lives, the stresses that we feel aren't necessarily because we have too much to do, but maybe more so because we haven't simply done what God asked us to do. This morning, what I want to do with the rest of our time, I want to give you Paul's keys to success, keys to finishing. But I want to do this, and I really want you to approach this from an attitude of prayer. Asking God very specifically, Lord, what is it that I haven't finished? That's a hard question to ask, because I think a lot of us, a lot of times, one of two things, either we know what it is, or we've suppressed it, pushed it down so much that now we don't even remember or recognize. But it's in these moments of asking God, God, what is it that I haven't finished, that I can promise you He will reveal Himself to you? God, what is it that I haven't finished? Be open and let's ask God this morning. What is it that God prompted you to do? And I'll even clarify maybe a little bit more. I don't think it's some vast array of a whole lot of things. Typically, when God asks you to do something, He's not going to give you something else till you can just do what He's asked you to do. Jesus, speaking to the church in Sardis, He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Wake up. Strengthen what remains, what is about to die, for I've found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. Jesus is saying, look, you haven't finished what I called you to do. You have unfinished work, unfinished business. What is it that as a follower of Christ, you were supposed to do? Something that you were prompted to do and then found every excuse, every reason not to. Something that you were impressed upon to give and then you came up with every excuse, every reason not to. What is it that you were supposed to share? Who's the friend that you were supposed to tell? And now you're at a place where you're sitting there thinking, I don't know that I ever did that. What is it that God wanted you to do? Maybe God was simply asking you to encourage your faith, or encourage you to share your faith. Maybe you felt encouraged to join a community group. You've used the excuse of, I don't know anybody, for far too long. And yet you still found reason to not. Maybe God encouraged you to serve here in the church, and serving's hard. And so you decided to not. Look, what ministry were you supposed to start? What business were you supposed to begin? What were you supposed to launch? Who were you supposed to simply apologize to? What's the unfinished business that God called you to do and you haven't followed through? Now, I'm not saying that everything in your life is something that you need to finish. I'm talking about what it is that God prompts you. What it is that God's asked of you. Divine assignments that you haven't done yet. And the reason why it's so important that we finish is because, as opposed to a resolution that we're just hoping to make it through the year, if you want to get to the end of your life and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," it requires intentionality today. Requires setting your mind, your focus on things above, not on what's right in front of you sometimes. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to start in verse 22. Here's my two points. There's kind of like a two and a half, but the half really isn't a half so much as it's an encompassing whole. We'll get there. You'll recognize it. Thank you. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 2, Paul says this, "But there's an urgency before me now. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. I do know that it won't be a picnic, for the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times and imprisonment ahead. But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know about all this incredibly extravagant generosity of God." Ooh. What matters most to me in all of life is to finish what God started. Now why could Paul at the end of his race say, "I have finished my race"? Did you catch it? Paul wasn't running for himself. He says, "My life matters little." He's saying it's not about me, not about my desires, not about my dreams, not about my 401k, not about anything of this world. All of that matters little. Look, if you've quit what God called you to, I'm encouraging you today to determine to get back to it. I want us to even personalize these lines from Paul. Paul said, "I consider my life worth nothing." I read from the Message translation, "All of this matters little. If only I may do what God called me to do." What is it for you that you need to consider worth nothing? Because at the moment, what you've done is you've placed it above. You've placed it above your God. "I consider my personal comfort worth nothing. my net worth worth nothing. I consider the opinions of others worth nothing, my hopes, my dreams worth nothing. If only, Lord God, I may finish this race. We determine we're finishers. How? Well, like Paul, you immediately recognize up front, you're not running it alone. You're not running your race alone. You're daily actively choosing to run it for God. All right? Step number one. Step number two. Here you go. Here it is. Get out your notebooks. If you want to finish, here's what you do. Because in your life, you've already determined that you want something to occur in a particular way. You want, at the end of your race, to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So because you've seen him move, because you know he'll do it again, you can ascertain or establish exactly how something will occur. So here's what you do. You recognize you're not running alone. And then you take the next step. Keys to success. Keys to finishing by Paul. You take the next step. None of us, again, we're not finishing our race today. I had the privilege here last week, this week, and the next week. There's three different individuals from within the church who have passed away, and I'm helping with their services. And the one that was just over last week was a dear friend, Ray Rosebrough, who ran the race. A finisher. None of us are finishing today, I pray. So what does that mean for you? That means you take the next step. You take the next step. As the band is coming up and I'm going to have them play on the bridge of that last song, "Wait on the Lord." But we're coming up on Easter, and I love Easter. The joy of getting to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior with friends and family in the church. I love it. But the thing about Easter is it's the finish. It's this beautiful ending. It's this glorious moment at the end of Jesus' life. He looks up into heaven and he cries out to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." But right before he says this, right before he breathes his last, he said, "It is finished. Father, I did everything that you sent me to do. Father, I ran my race." How did he do it? Again, he wasn't running for himself. He knew that. He gave every day to his Father. Every moment, every interaction. Day after day. Week after week. Year after year. Victory after victory. Even painful moment after painful moment. He knew who he was running for, and he took the next step. When they hated him, he took the next step, loved them. When they struck him on the cheek, he took the next step and turned to the other. When he was carrying the cross on the way to be crucified, falls to the ground, the crowd mocking and cursing him, what did he do? He stood back up and he took the next step. And then hanging on a cross with with the crowds that he was dying for, laughing at him, spitting on him, shaming him. He took the next step and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. From the very moment that Jesus started, he determined, I'm not quitting. I'm a finisher. Again, the trajectory of your in my life is always towards what's easy. We're bent towards what's easy, what's convenient. And because of that, your enemy will want you to quit what God called you to start. He's going to try and convince you, you don't have enough. You can't make it. You've already forgiven as much as you can forgive. You've loved and they've taken advantage of you. You've given and they didn't care. You've prayed and you haven't seen a result. What do you do when it feels like you don't have the strength to take another step? You recognize you never run alone. You never run alone. And because of that, you can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful. Faithful to bring it to completion. He will carry it on to completion until the day that Christ Jesus returns. Come on, church. Look, God's going to carry it on. That means when you're weak, he's your strength. You never run alone. Come on, church. When God calls us with a vision, with a dream, that means you and I can confidently say, God is for me, then who can be against me? Come on. And then instead of walking away from what God wants you to have, it's in these moments through determination that now you and I can be empowered to run to him even in our doubts. That we can be empowered, confident to run to him even in our fears, even in our failures. We can turn to him and say, my God, you have never leaving? You've never left me. My God, you've never left me, and I am so grateful, I'm so thankful for your work in my life. I am not a failure. This moment may be a failure, but because of what Christ has done in my life, I can with confidence rise back up in you and take the next step. Doesn't matter if you get it. Doesn't matter if you don't understand it. Look, you cling to it. You cling to him. Oh, yeah, I want to. I'm going to have the worship team sing this. Come on, y'all stand up with me. Let's just take a moment, church, to sing this right here. Wait on the Lord.
He will renew your strength, so wait, I say, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength, so wait, I say, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord.
Despite the circumstances. despite the feelings, Lord God, despite the failure, Lord Jesus, we press in, we step in. We're not going to quit, Lord God, for we are finishers. Wait on the Lord. Oh. Real quick, in an atmosphere, an attitude of prayer, coming before the Lord, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just take a moment and take whatever it is that God's revealing to you and just submit it back to Him. God, in this situation, I'm going to finish. Father, I pray right now across this room, for your steps. Scripture's clear, Lord God. We know the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And so, Lord God, I pray right now that across this room, in confidence, we would take that next step. Recognizing it's not our own righteousness, not by anything we've done, not by anything we've pulled together, Lord God, but by simply turning our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter, finisher of our faith. And because of what you've done, I can stand today and say I am righteous. My failure says otherwise, Lord God, but I look to you. Across this room, Lord Jesus, I pray that ideas would be birthed, that visions, Lord God, would grow, that we would see, Lord Jesus, your kingdom multiplied, Father, because of the next step taken. That lives would be transformed, Father, because each and every one of us recognize our calling, our opportunity to simply share the goodness that we've experienced. That, Lord, we wouldn't be the status quo, Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't sit there and just be a part of everything else, Lord God, but that we would rise up as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, Lord God, that are determined to pursue and put you first, to seek you first, your righteousness, Lord God, here in this place, in our lives, in our everyday. That your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord God, right here, in and through our lives. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Y'all have a very, very blessed week. Bless you.